Evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Very good. Lovely to be here. And welcome to those online. This evening is going to be centered around the communion service. And so I hope that those at home will benefit from the singing and seeing the songs that we've got, the hymns, as well as the scriptures that will go up on the screen. But here we're mainly focusing on what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord is like as we draw near in this communion service. So we're here to remember, to think about the Lord Jesus. It's not just remember because we've forgotten, it's remember in the sense that we want to move on. We want to turn from our sin. We want to trust in Christ again, renew our commitment. And this is an opportunity to do that as we remember the Lord together. So in a little while, we'll eat bread and we'll drink wine together. And we'll think about what Jesus has done and what he's like. And to help us, we're going to focus mainly on the Transfiguration. So in Mark chapter 8, if you'd like to turn with me, if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 8, and we'll be beginning at verse 27. But let's pray first of all. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and break bread and drink wine together as we remember who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you that you have promised to be present with your people. We thank you for each other and for the work that you have begun in each of us. And we pray that this evening might be an opportunity, another opportunity to grow in our love for you and our love for each other. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you look at Mark 8 and verse 27, let's read and just make one or two comments as we go through. So, Mark 8, verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But who, what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." I wonder if we this evening have that view of Christ. He's the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah. The one that we are going to take bread and remember him giving himself for us on the cross. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one who is special. He's the servant that was promised of old. And he's the Messiah. And Peter has come to that conclusion, perhaps some of the other disciples as well at this point. And Jesus, verse 30, Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He is the Messiah, but his journey is to the cross. He has to suffer. And so he's underlining this. Yes, you're right, Peter. I am the Messiah, but I have to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be rejected. And he spoke plainly about this. And verse 23, he says, 32 rather, he says, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This doesn't square with what Peter has just said. It doesn't fit. Messiah and suffering. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And then we go on, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So he's saying, I'm the Messiah, but I have to go the way of the cross. And it's true of you as disciples. Your way is the way of suffering and the cross. It's a way of sacrifice. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And he goes on, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Notice, one day this same Jesus who goes to the cross is going to one day come again in his Father's glory with his holy angels. And he goes on to say, he said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power. Some, in fact, Peter, James and John, as we'll go on to see shortly, they are going to see something of that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ already before they die. So let's pray that God would give us a sight of the Saviour this evening. We're going to sing first, and then David will come up and pray. So it's give me a sight of Saviour, of your great love to me, the love that brought you down from heaven to die on Calvary. Let's stand to sing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love towards us, that we can be called your children. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for our salvation. And it's all possible because our Savior was willing to come into this world to take on human flesh, to become one of us, to live a perfect life on our behalf, and to suffer and die on the cross for us, to take away all our sins, every single one. Father, when we've been Christians for some time, it's difficult to remember all these things and to realize just what a privilege it is. Sometimes we get complacent about it. Oh, Lord, help us this evening to see with renewed wonder the love that our Savior had for us, to see his glory, to see his majesty, to see his love for us, the intense suffering that he went through for us, not just the physical suffering, but the spiritual and mental anguish as he bore our sins on the cross. Help us, Father, as we later eat the bread and drink the wine, help us to truly proclaim our Savior's death to ourselves and to one another, and to remember just how much we are loved and what a privilege it is. Give us a renewed sight of the glory of our Savior. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mark chapter 9, verse 2. We've thought about Jesus as the Messiah, and this Messiah is going to go the way of the cross, as we read just a moment ago. But this same Messiah, the same person who we remember when we take the bread and we take the wine, this same person we see is a Lord of glory. Let's read these verses. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before him Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. So this suffering servant is this same glorious, bright, shining one. And Peter, James, and John had this view of the Lord Jesus. It's described in different ways, but one way it's described as that he's dazzling white. And imagine you were there up on that mountain. They went to pray, and you see this as if the veil that was over the Lord Jesus has been lifted. And you see his glory. There's a light shining from within. And we're reminded then that this suffering servant is the same glorious Lord. If we were taken instantaneously this evening to heaven, we would see the glory of the Lord in his fullness. Humans cannot see God, cannot look upon God. And so this is just a glimpse of the glory of the Lord. And so as we take the bread and the wine and we remember our Lord, we remember that he's not only the suffering Lord who went to the cross for us, he is also the glorified Lord, the one who had glory before even the world began, that he had this intrinsic glory in essence. He is the glorious one. And when he came to this earth, It's as if he clothed himself, hid his glory. And at this point in his ministry, the veil is lifted and we see something of the glory of the Lord Jesus. And of course, one day we will see him come in all his glory. We could read those verses that talk about the end times. And for example, Matthew 24:30, where it says this: "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And then into the next chapter, and chapter 25, verse 30, we read this. It says, and, excuse me, verse 31. "And when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne." He's going to be the Lord of glory, that he'll be unmissable. Nobody will be in any doubt that the Lord Jesus has come when he comes that second time, because he will come in his great glory. And so, we're not to be discouraged when we experience suffering. When the first believers read Mark's gospel, they were going through some terrible things. And they'd read about Jesus saying, "I'm going to go the way of the cross. And you are going to go the way of the cross." And they realize that he knows what he's doing. And then when they see this transfigured Jesus on the top of this mountain, and the witness of Peter, James and John saying, we really saw him. We saw him in his glory. We saw something of the glory of the Lord Jesus. And that's who it is. And so he's in control. It's not an accident. These things that he's going through, he is in control. He's the Lord of glory, as well as the suffering servant. Let's sing of our amazement in our next hymn. I just wonder whether I might just read the couple of verses in reflecting upon the Lord of glory and the suffering Lord. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvellous, how wonderful, this my song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful, is my Saviour's love for me. For me he prayed in the garden, and bowed to the will divine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat, drops of blood for mine." And we remember Peter, James and John were there in that garden and saw his suffering there for us, as well as seeing him on the mount in all glory. "How marvellous, how wonderful, this my song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me." Let's stand to sing from verse 3, "In pity angels beheld him." We'll stand and sing from that third verse. look at verse 4, chapter 9, verse 4 now. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. I don't know what you make of Peter's reaction, but it does seem to be a mixture of emotions. In one moment, he says, it's good for us to be here, and he wants to stay longer. But on the other hand, it's out of fear. They were all afraid. And there's that sense of wanting to stay and see is something lovely happening here, something extraordinary, and they're trying to make sense of it and thinking, well, let's stay longer. But they're not sure what it means, what's going on really here. And maybe that's the same with us. I think we, if we think about heaven will be filled with saints and will be filled with people like you and me, saints, people who have been made saints by Christ and his work upon the cross, giving his body and giving his blood. And we'll want to stay in the company of saints. There's Moses and Elijah here. There's something good about Moses and Elijah having a conversation with the Lord of glory that they see here. And so they want it to continue. And it'll be the same with us. We struggle maybe sometimes to get on with certain people within a church or a gathering like this. There's some people we find it easier to get on with. But in heaven, there'll be a sense of, yeah, it's something lovely, something wonderful. And the fact that the Lord of glory is shining, is transfigured here, reminds us that actually heaven is heaven because he's there. And he's made us able to see him, able to see him in his glory. There's those verses that say that when he comes, we'll see him and we'll be like him. And it'll be a glorious thing to see the Lord with no veil upon him, see him in his true nature. And so there's this mixture of emotions going on in here. And what have we got here? We've got the Lord Jesus appearing on the mountain with these three disciples witnessing this. And we're not told what he thought about Peter's request, really. There's no answer to Peter's request. But what we are told is this, in verse 7, "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" So, yes, you might want to stay up on this mountain and with this experience, but the most important thing is that you realize that this is God's son. "This is my son," says the voice from heaven, "whom I love." And then, "Listen to him." So, just for a moment, as we think about the bread and the wine, who is this? This is the one who's loved by God. And how do you measure love? How do you measure the love of God for God the Father, for God the Son? How do you measure it? It's enormous love. It's such a great love, isn't it? It's a love of the one and only Son. who's dwelt in eternity with God the Father and God the Spirit for eternity and in perfect fellowship. And God the Father is saying, this is the Son whom I love. Surely that speaks to us. If God loves Jesus and loves so much, is willing to allow the Lord Jesus to go to the death on the cross out of love for us, surely this should kindle our love. Surely it should begin to kindle our love for the Lord a little bit more than it was maybe when we came in this evening. And so Jesus is God's Son. God loves him. And the exhortation for us is that we're to listen to him. We're tempted to take in, listen to a number of voices every day, family and friends, maybe particularly peers of ours. We take notice of news, of these experts, authorities on this and that. But here, God is saying, this is the one that you should be listening to. He's the one that we are to obey, the one that we are to listen to. And who's that one? He's the one who's perfectly loved by God the Father. So what about you and me? Have we come to the same verdict as God about Jesus? Have we come to the conclusion that he is God's Son, that he is the Messiah, that he is the special one, the promised one? Have we seen that he's done something for us by going to the cross and then dying on the cross for sinners, in the place of sinners like us? He's taken away our sin. And when we trust in him, We're washed clean because of what he's done. His blood washes us clean. And that's what we're remembering at this meal, these truths. So have you had your mind changed? Or do you just think, yes, he was a good man. Yes, Jesus lived. Yeah, I believe he lived. But have you come to the point where you see that he's the most significant person? He's the one that is loved by God the Father. And he's the one who has the stamp of approval on. Is he the one that counts the most when we make our decisions in life? When we think through what we're going to do today, what we're going to do tomorrow and this coming week? Is it what the Lord Jesus wants that counts most in our consideration? So let's think about the love of God. Let's think about the love of Christ as we sing our next hymn, which is Here is Love Vast as the Ocean. After we've sung this, elders will bring the bread around and we'll pray, mainly focusing on This is my Son whom I love. And if you're not baptized, and if you're a believer and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus and not yet baptized, we ask if you could just let the bread and the wine pass, and we look forward to seeing your profession of faith displayed in some way in the near future. But just think on these things, but not take them this evening. So let's stand and sing, Here is Love Vast as the Ocean. Thank you. Please be seated. You have to bring the bread. Serve the bread. And then if you pray after
that. Pray now.
Okay. Yeah, if we pray now, we'll bring the bread round and eat it straight away. Sorry, I forgot that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these pictures that we have, true pictures that we have of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one long promised, the Messiah, the one who you said would come into this world and who would suffer and die upon the cross, who would bear your wrath for our sin, that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. And we thank you for this picture that we have of the transformed Jesus, the one whose glory shines, and the one whose glory shines in heaven, and the one whom we shall see in heaven one day. Lord, we thank you for your Son, and we pray that you would help us to listen to him as we hear his words through the scripture and the scripture open to us, that we might believe it and we might obey it. So Lord, as we take this bread now, we pray that we might feed upon him by faith, we might be strengthened in our walk with the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Eat it, take it and eat it now. Yeah, so eat it as you receive it. Yeah. Let's remain seated as we sing together our next hymn, My Jesus, I Love You.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another tune we know better.
Yeah, the trouble is the other tune has different words, so it will be
to bring the wine round. Hold on to the wine and Nathan will pray and then we'll drink together. Okay, thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, we ask by the refreshing and renewing of our souls in your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to listen, to hear Christ, to be obedient to him, and to carry out his commands. Father, would you make us people who are humble and who will consider the way of Christ, the way of the cross, above our own way and our own desires. Father, would you bless this cup to us now as we share it, and would you help us to remember Christ's death, the blood that speaks a better word than Abel's, and we thank you for the forgiveness from sin and the salvation that was won for us through Christ's death. And we ask this for, in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's drink together.
We left the disciples on the mount with the transfigured, the glorious, transformed Jesus, wanting to stay there, wanting to capture the moment in some way. And they come away with this voice ringing in their ears, "This is my son whom I love, listen to him." And then suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they come down, so they come back down the mountain. There's a work to do. And having seen the glorious Lord, something of his glory, a glimpse of his glory, surely they want to obey that that instruction. To listen to Jesus. They want to please him. They want to obey him. And may that be our hearts, that as we think about the glorified Lord who gave himself for us, let's give ourselves anew in our closing hymn. Let's make it our prayer. Take my life and let it be. I don't think it's the words are different from what I know. So, take my life and let it be all your all you purpose, Lord, for me. Consecrate my fleeting days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let's recommit ourselves anew in thankfulness and in service. Let's stand to sing. please take your seats. Peter, a little while later on, wrote these things. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would take us from where we are up to the Mount of Transfiguration, that we would see something anew concerning Christ this evening, that we would honour you as you are honoured by heaven, that we would worship you, that we would adore you, that we would live for you. And we pray then that we may live this week looking forward to that time when we will see you in your splendour, when we'll see you in perfection. We pray, help us to live by faith, trusting in what you have said, trusting in what you have done. And Lord, help us in all that we do this week to glorify you. Amen.